Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk from Sunday, October 6th, is on the theme of climate justice and includes readings by Naomi Miller and Tim Marr.
Lowering Our Gaze from the Stars is a sermon by Malia Hausnecht, and it's been adapted and abridged by Reverend Barbara. Malia Hausnecht is a lifelong Unitarian Universalist and a seminarian entering her final year of study, a trustee of Unitarian Universalists for Social Change, and an active member of the First Universalist Church of Minneapolis. Before seminary, she spent more than two decades organizing in environmental policy development and implementation. And here is the sermon. The room was hot, and it was getting hotter. Rochelle, a Black community activist from North Minneapolis, was doing everything in her power to contain her agitation with the circle of mostly light-skinned faces who were looking at her with baffled expressions. Kids are passing out in the class, in my kids' classroom, school. Are we going to do something or not? If not, what are we doing here? Malia was a member of the Minneapolis Community Environmental Advisory Commission. She had worked in urban sustainability and political organizing, and she thought she could offer a lot to community engagement efforts. The staff had decided it was time to respond to pressure from local environmental justice organizations to racially diversify the commission and shift its focus toward public health and community resilience. It seemed like exciting work. Well, the culture clash was immediate and painful. The white members of the group, including Malia, wanted to focus on the new compost education program and the city's contracts with energy utilities. Rochelle, who was Black, wanted to focus on the condition of North Minneapolis schools. Malia felt paralyzed, not quite able to reconcile her dedication to preventing environmental damage with Rochelle's insistence to focus on the impacts of environmental burdens. It wasn't that the group disagreed over what was morally right, but they couldn't agree on their priorities. In that room, there were environmentalists and there were environmental justice activists, and they were speaking separate languages. They wanted to focus on largely separate issues. Perhaps most importantly, they were operating under separate worldviews. Malia, a Unitarian Universalist who claimed to live by a set of principles that promote equity and compassion, liberty and justice for all, was baffled. How is there such discord in a movement whose goal is to create a world where all can thrive? The issue isn't just semantic. It can't be fixed by just sticking the word justice after the word environmental. And the consequences of modern industry and climate change still fall disproportionately on people of color, low-income folks, and historically colonized peoples. But why has the work done to heal the environment done so little to address other inequities? Perhaps some environmental work even reinforces systems that create harm for some, even as they were comfortable for others. Now that's an uncomfortable thought. Thankfully, our Unitarian Universalist faith has something to say about whether the problem of overheated classrooms in North Minneapolis is an environmental and climate concern worthy of groups of attention. The key to mending the rift between environmentalism and environmental justice may lie in the space between our commitment to every person's inherent worthiness and our responsibility to the interconnected whole. As a largely white and middle-class denomination, it has often been easier to embrace an abstract sense of love for all of nature than to grapple with the reality that we have benefited from and participated in systems of supremacy. In her chapter, Ethical Implications of Environmental Justice, found in the book Justice on Earth, Working at the Intersection of Race, Class, and Environment, theologian and current UUA president, Reverend Dr. Sophia Betancourt, wrote that we are the spiritual descendants of Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau. Not only are we profoundly shaped by their idealized vision of one white man communing with the wilderness, we are also responsible for reimagining transcendence they offered us. In his essay, Nature, Emerson suggests that only in solitude, away from both society and built environment, will we find the wisdom, delight, and freedom offered by mystical communion with the natural world. If a man would be alone, let him look at the stars, wrote Emerson. The rays that come from those heavenly worlds will separate between him and what he touches. The goal in our relationship with nature is thus to transcend and escape the ugliness of everyday society, the human element that has presumably caused so much chaos. But Dr. Betancourt continues, environmental justice pushes back on the idea that all humanity can be considered as one single element of the Earth community without first dismantling generation of injustice within human society. She urges us not to allow our fear of our rightful sense of urgency to address environmental devastation in isolation from centuries of human oppression and despair. We must engage with the realities of an unjust society and lower our gaze from the stars, says Dr. Betancourt. If we do, it becomes clear that the conditions of aging and poorly designed school buildings are an environmental concern, and it's essential to address those issues if we care about climate justice. So are the systems that allow the conditions in overheated classrooms to remain invisible to so many. Climate justice includes confronting the assumption of mostly middle-class white people that they know more about the city's important environmental concerns are than the people being directly harmed by the physical spaces to which they have been relegated. We are interdependent and a community, a world, which includes all of us, must be built on mutual trust, and it must be built on mutual trust, respect, and liberation, which can only be achieved if we include the voices of the people experiencing harm. It can only be achieved if we learn to trust that each of us has valuable questions and insight and even answers about what is needed in order to address and prevent that harm. Dismantling systems of oppression isn't separate from what it means to be an expert. It includes releasing the certainty that we are automatically expert. It doesn't mean we relinquish science or that we deny facts. It just means our perspective isn't the only one of value. Using our power in solidarity may be the most important thing to do for environmental justice. So, Malia started showing up in North Minneapolis without claiming to be the expert. She got involved in community-led planning and advocated for community ownership as a necessary part of achieving climate justice. Too often, Malia discovered what she'd seen as environmental justice just meant shifting waste downhill, sometimes literally sending trash to a landfill in a historically poorer area, even a poorer country, for example. We must heed our covenantal commitment to honor the interdependent web of all existence by protecting Earth and all beings from exploitation. This requires us to work to dismantle racism and all forms of oppression, and to use our time, wisdom, attention, and money to build and sustain fully accessible and inclusive communities. We must refuse to sacrifice anyone. The belief that humans are separate from, and more important than, the rest of nature has wreaked havoc on the systems on which all life depends. And a critical step in overcoming that false sense of separation is dismantling systems built on the idea that some humans matter more than others. In the words of Dr. David Bumba, we are called to define the religious and spiritual dimensions of the ecological crisis confronting the world and to preach the gospel of a world in which each is a part of all, in which every place and everyone is sacred and every place is holy ground, in which all are children of the same great love, all embarked on the same journey, all destined for the same end. When we're considering the compost education program and the city's contract with energy utilities and also the lack of air conditioning in every school or the location of the recycling centers, we'll be making progress toward addressing all of these inequities. When we honor the interdependent web of all existence by declaring that every person is inherently worthy and has the right to flourish with dignity, love, and compassion, we will have lived and loved into the fullest meaning of our Unitarian Universalist faith. May it be so.
This one is adapted from a homily called A Future Where We Can Thrive by Andrew Batcher. Andrew Batcher is the social justice coordinator for the Potomac Partnership, a collaboration by three large DC area congregations. He's a professional organizer who brings this experience to cultivate social justice as a faith practice and a path for leadership development. Our planet is hurting. We know this. Our planet is hurting because of climate change and because of racism, poverty, war, so many problems that feel so wrong and overwhelming. There is distress in the interconnected web of life of which we are a part. Part of what brings us together as Unitarian Universalists is our desire to learn how we will do this together. This is a holy purpose. Perhaps together we can envision a future where we shine an inspirational beacon for resilience and purpose. Many look at the climate crisis as a political struggle, but perhaps the political fight actually distracts us from seeing a deeper truth. We are really in a spiritual struggle to embrace a future where we can thrive. It's a struggle because embracing the future requires letting go of the past. The future is uncertain, and it's hard to let go of what we're used to. As we face climate crisis, we don't really know where we are going or how we will get there. We see many bumps in the road. People can be quite skilled at resisting good ideas, and sometimes we come up with shockingly bad ideas. For environmental sustainability, we are often asked to do things we don't know how to do. Sometimes we're asked to give up things we don't want to give up, or to make changes we don't want to make. All of this is stressful, and perhaps the spiritual stress of change is evident in some of the political divisions we see. But these challenges are not insurmountable. To live in a thriving future on a thriving planet, we have to step into the unknown, which is overwhelming. But we must do this because our children and our grandchildren don't have a choice. They have no option but to live in the future, and they need elders to move into that future with them. Two principles are vitally important to have a meaningful conversation about climate change. First, climate change is really not only about the climate. And second, creating a future where we responsibly address climate change will require coalitions who are committed not just to addressing climate change, but to racial justice, economic justice, gender justice, and more. So first, the point that climate change is not only about the climate. Climate crises do not exist in a vacuum, independent of racial hierarchy, economic systems, or our struggles to be in community. If you're getting minimum wage, it's hard to buy vegan or to buy an electric car. Industries such as mining often operate in formerly colonized and currently exploited nations. Factories and toxic disposal sites are often placed near communities with majority low-income people and people of color. In this interconnected world, it just doesn't make sense for our social justice efforts to be siloed so that one person speaks exclusively about the environment while another speaks exclusively about racism. Effective social justice work will involve breaking silos and focusing on interconnection. Beyond politics, every day we shape the world with how we travel, what we eat, what we do, and what we don't do. As Unitarian Universalists, it's central to our purpose to ask how we can honor the interconnected web of life of which we are a part. It's important to give each other grace and understanding in this process because this is challenging. We need to respect the stress we're dealing with as we learn to change. By showing understanding, we enable each other to succeed. And the second principle, we need to build coalitions of those who are committed not just to environmental sustainability, but to racial justice, economic justice, gender justice, and more. Perhaps all social justice issues are really different lenses on the same goal. They're all about creating a thriving future. For people to thrive, we need a planet that thrives, which means honoring all who shape this planet. A thriving future requires coalitions of folks of diverse backgrounds and perspectives who unite around the possibilities that are life-giving and love-nurturing. A future where we can thrive is intersectional. There is no sustainable future with an economy that only values the 1% or the 10%. There is no unified coalition that could revive the planet without the embrace of the diverse cultures of the planet. A legislative victory here and there is not enough to tackle the problems of planetary overshoot. What might be enough are the masses of diverse people embracing sustainable, beloved community. What is our role? How do we get there? It's not an easy road, but we can make more progress with welcome and gratitude than with fear and lecturing. These holy Unitarian Universalist sanctuaries have raised children, formed friendships, been a spiritual salvation and grounding, provided prophetic voice and a glorious community that human beings seek in our bones. There's so much to honor and celebrate in who we have been in our past. As we look to the future, we can grow on who we have been and become more fully who we wish to be. We can challenge Eurocentric empire and create spaces of true appreciation for a diversity of peoples, perspectives, and wisdom. We can promote economies that do not force people to live on the edge. In our congregations and by our actions, we can be havens for spiritual growth. We can be a source of welcome and of love. And we cannot do all of this in isolation. We must be in partnership, in coalition, to make the world a better place. What we have to offer is our care, our welcome, our commitment to learn, and to support the people who are dedicated to the thriving future we also believe in. The planet is the source of all that we each see and love. And Unitarian Universalism has made a difference in the world over the centuries. Witness the sea change in attitudes and laws for LGBTQ plus people, which we, in concert with many others, helped to bring about. Our potential to do so again is great. So for unions across our country, let this be a day of planetary revival. Let tomorrow, next week, and next year be the same. Look around this room. You will find the faces of those who will help you on your journey. You are not alone. Let us be together in love and purpose. Let us demonstrate a vision for how we can live with love and purpose in the face of the challenges in front of us. Our future demands us. We can do this, and together we will do this.